What's up, you beauties? Welcome to High and Wide Radio, episode 25, season 6. I'm your host, Jim Eichelbone, joined by Jack Smith. If you're watching us live on YouTube, make sure you're subscribed and set an alert for future shows. If you're not watching on YouTube, make sure you head over to watch us on YouTube. And if you're listening as a podcast, please make sure you're listening and subscribed on Apple Podcasts or Spotify to get notifications for future episodes the minute we upload them. Boys and girls, ladies and gents, Jack and Jims, we're going to wait for some people to pile in the comments here, but we're going to dissect the deadline a little bit. You know, a lot's happened since we last had a show. I know we had the trade deadline Friday. It was a successful, I think it was like a three and a half hour show. Might have been the longest show we ever did, Jack.
Yeah, it was pretty close.
A lot to get to. Oh, we got Slaypool popping in. Hey, boys, best day of the week is when a new Flyers High and Wide episode is released. Oh, that's really nice of you to say. We're glad
that's
to
awesome.
You. Glad appreciate to have you check that. In.
Really yeah, appreciate
so,
that.
A lot's happened. I mean, John Tortorella is suspended, so we're going to talk that. Flyers obviously had a game last night against the San Jose Sharks. Interesting game. I want to talk about the game a little bit eventually, Jack. We're going to talk about the Flyers' decrepit D. I like how you described that in the notes there, Jack. And, you know, we're going to talk about a playoff race. It's not just the Flyers and the Islanders battling out for this spot. We'll get to that later on in the show. And I do want to touch on the play of Tyson Forster and some Morgan Frost talk. Who doesn't love Morgan Frost talk, right, Jack?
There he is again.
All right. So let's get to the trade deadline a little bit. The first ever trade deadline as general manager for Danny Briere. How do you think he did, Jack?
I think we said it on the show. I'm going with a B plus. I'm going to go with a B plus. I've heard B. End of the day, he understood the assignment, and that's what mattered most. Got a first for Walker in a trade market that didn't see a whole lot of first go. I mean, top of my head, Lindholm, Hanifin, Walker, Edmonton gave up one for Henrique plus, and I think there's one more, the Montreal trade earlier in the Monahan. I think those were the only first-round picks moved that I can think off the top of my head. And the fact that Sean Walker, a throw-in in the Provorov deal, netted you that. Understandably so, we brought Ryan Johansson back. And if you want to get into some of that reporting on him as well, that's awfully interesting. But, yeah, I mean, right then and there, it was a success. And it was necessary. It's great. It's in a 2025. Which most scouts were being told are pointing towards that draft, especially if you have a pick like Colorado's, not exactly top 10 material, which it's top 10 protected anyway. That's a condition in case you were curious. But it's more likely that there'll be more talented centers, mind you, in the 2025 draft, roughly around, now this is obviously over a year away, where the Flyers could be drafting with that pick. So that's great news. But they did little things here and there that you didn't expect, something that Fletcher would just be blown away by, brokering the deal with Vegas to bring Hanifin from Calgary, picking up essentially a free fifth-round pick in this year's draft, and a really intriguing one. We say goodbye to Wade Allison, who, for all intents and purposes, I could give a shit. I liked him a couple of years ago, but he is the type of player that basically, if he's not playing his style, which gets him hurt, he's not effective, and if he's always hurt, he's not playing, so you have to find the balance. He never found that balance. He was never able to stay healthy and stay effective. So I'm all for that trade, bringing in is it Dennis Gurianov? Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, intriguing piece there. Guy that looked like before the COVID shut the world down was going to break out with Dallas. I mean, that affected everybody in a different way. I'm not saying they're going to pull a, you know, rabbit out of a hat with him or anything, but it's definitely more intriguing than Wade Allison ever was. Not to mention when Wade Allison got sent to the Phantoms, the way he huffed and puffed, that never sits well with me. So I really was out on him at that point. Bringing a guy who just played the other night, definitely can skate, has some speed. You know, I mean, I want to see more of him. I'm not saying he's a part of the future, but it's the kind of like low risk, low high reward you take. There's really no risk at all. So I was that's next level thinking. That's like, why not try for something like that? All that's what made it go from a B for B plus for me, picking up free draft picks, adding intriguing prospects. You know, I can't hate it. I was very happy to see we have a competent general manager at his first trade deadline, and I'm awfully happy. Oh, you're on mute again, Jimmy.
Sorry. Odin's snoring over here again. So, yeah, you speak of competence, and you know that's got to give you, I think, some confidence. How about that for another C word? Leading up to the deadline, you know, as I think a lot of fans and stuff like to overreact. That's kind of what they do. Right. That's what we do. We overreact. You know, if stuff's put out, everybody runs this way. If something comes out that counteracts what was already said, everybody runs this way. Like nobody can kind of just sit and go, okay, well, Friday's not here yet. Or I think in the Flyers case, Thursday, right? That didn't they make the trade a couple days ahead of Friday? Maybe it was a Wednesday, but the Walker deal, I mean, we said it all year long. They need to trade Walker. If you can get a first for Sean Walker, you need, it doesn't matter how well he was playing, you needed to get the one. If you're in a rebuild and you're offered a first, you have to take it, right? The guy's 29 years old. We said it. How many more times do we want to say it, right? 29 years old, playing his ass off in a contract year. Good for him. I'll be happy for him when he gets paid somewhere else. You know, Flyers at this point in their rebuild or whatever it is, because even though they're 10 games over 500 in almost the middle of March, and they've been in a playoff spot for, I mean, since the calendar turned to 2024 at least, the Flyers aren't there yet, right? Like we're probably, if they make the playoffs, they're probably looking at a first round exit. And you know, if the defense goes into the playoffs like this, it'll be a quick one. So they're not ready. Right, they still need to garner assets when they can, and opportunities like this don't come around very often. Yeah, you know, like you mentioned, you get Sean Walker, a guy that outplayed what everybody expected, and you get a first round pick. It was a deal you had to make. Briere found a way to get it. Did he have to take on Ryan Johansson? And like you mentioned, well, we could talk about this little ordeal here. So Kevin Kerr's put out an article. Johansson skated the day before he was traded with the Avalanche morning skate. And now he's traded to the Flyers. I mean, obviously we know from the past, I think some of the guys in the comments had mentioned on Friday's show, he and Torts didn't get along very well. Right. So instantly you're like, okay, this guy's a, you know, an older vet, 34 some odd years old, doesn't want to put up with Torts' shit again. And you know, I think if the Flyers are going to waive him, if he says he's injured, so I have to go back and check this, but there's like a loophole where if he says he's hurt, they got to keep him on the roster or something like that. I have to go back and look. One of our commenters or viewers can probably let me know the facts there, but there's a loophole where if he's hurt, he gets the full money or you can't get caught, something like that. I should have looked before we came on. But there's something going on weird with Ryan Johansson where he was sent to Lehigh. I don't think he's reported there. I think he's hurt or he says he is. But there's something fishy. And here's the thing. At first glance, you're like, well, I don't care. Like they got the first round pick. Toss in whatever he needed to toss in for us to get the first. And on second hand, it's like, all right, this could be an issue here because the Flyers could have gotten another player. If Johansson was hurt, would they have still accepted him? You know, there's something on Twitter I wanted to bring up, but I want to hear your thoughts while I look that up, Jack, on this Ryan Johansson thing.
I mean, some of that I'm hearing for the first time. I didn't realize that about the having to stay on the roster and getting paid the full amount or whatever that nonsense is. Either two schools of thought have taken place, if there's any truth to that. Colorado did something fishy, which is not good. I don't know how that works with the league rules and whatnot, but I don't know. I don't think it's that. The other thing we didn't bring up yet was that Johansson was a flat out. Maybe this helped for us getting the first so easily. I say easily, but I think it had a lot to do with it. He was a locker room cancer. They needed to get him out of Colorado. Things were not working. He was not performing on the ice. He was not well-liked in the locker room. It was a problem. They needed him to go. And Jim, as you said on Friday, you know, one second you're second line center for a Stanley Cup contender. The next second you're on your way to Lehigh Valley in the AHL. Life comes at you fast. Well, I guess it came a little too fast for Johansson, and he must have got hurt in some shape, way, shape, or form, because he was perfectly fine going into the deadline. So there's definitely shenanigans going on. We see that with this league. And I'm not saying these teams are wrong for exploiting loopholes. I'm looking at Tampa. I'm looking at Vegas, obviously, with circumventing the cap. When I get mad about these things, it's not the team. It's the rule. It's the league. That's what needs to get fixed. And this is something else. If you have a rule like that in place, and you can't, when it involves injuries, and you really can't prove some of these injuries, like to if it's a back or certain hips and whatever, there's no real way to fully prove these things. Like, players take advantage, teams and players will take advantage of these loopholes. Like, they need to be fixed. And this is a perfect example of a player. Agent probably told him to do it, whose agent, by the way, is the same as Cutter Gauthier, so we know what we're dealing with right away. So, I mean, there's just, when I hear that, all that information, and you just piece it together, there's clearly shenanigans going on, and I don't care what you tell me. I'm not going to believe anything else because of all the people involved, all the parties involved. So, big shocker there, but it is what it is. You know, I mean, it's 1 year. We'll see what happens at the end of this year, and then it's 1 year after that. So, I still would do it for the first. The first is what's most important. And you're not competing this year. Like, I'm sorry. You're not contending this year or probably next. So you need to utilize your cap space and get assets for it. And that's exactly what they did.
Somebody say shenanigans.
I think I said it several times.
No, just, you ever see Super Troopers?
I'm supposed to say, Troopers. If somebody says that one more time, I'm going to pistol whip him.
Pistol whip him.
Hey, Farva, what's that place with the flare? What do you mean, shenanigans?
All right, so here's the tweet from Kevin Curse here. Also, per source, Ryan Johansson flew in the Philly earlier this week. He told Flyers he has a hip injury, so he's getting some images done from Phantom's doctors. Team is unsure of next step until they figure out what's going on with the injury. So off the bat, this tells me that they were unaware of an injury at the time they traded for Johansson, right? Which is a little fishy. So my question was, and Kevin, I guess, maybe saw it or didn't see it or saw it and just decided not to answer. I don't know. Anyways, so I asked them, so they didn't know this ahead of time or it wasn't disclosed at the time of the trade, right? Because if that's the case, then somebody dropped the ball there on the Flyers. If you didn't ask, hey, is he healthy?
Yeah.
Or maybe you just assumed, I don't know. Because why would a team trade an injured player, right? So there's a comment here from Stephen Hubbard. And, you know, I don't know Stephen. I think he's just a hockey fan like a lot of us are. He mentions the Flyers should care. If the point of taking him was to move him to the IR, was to move him or buy him out this summer, if he's injured, then by rule they can't buy him out. So he'll be stuck on the payroll, which is probably what Johansson's doing now, you know? If Colorado knew and didn't disclose, that's shady. If Philadelphia knew and took him anyway, then that's on the Flyers. And I totally agree with that. You know, I mean, obviously the reason that you're taking him in the first place is for the pick. You know, you're not, at this point, you're not trading for Johansson and looking for offense from him or anything like that. He's a worse Kevin Hayes at this point in his career, right?
Yeah.
So, but you know, there's some stuff there. There's some, you know, you want to look in like, this is a situation now. Anytime you hear Briere talk about it, it's, we don't know yet. We'll see. We're going to figure it out. And I guess we will, you know? So that's kind of the situation with Johansson. So yeah, I kind of want to pivot a little bit. You brought up Gurianov. And this is a guy that the Flyers were interested in, I think it was last year's trade deadline or potentially the year before. His name popped up and he was on the Flyers' radar, and obviously the Flyers didn't trade for him. I think he was traded to Montreal. Turns out he was on the trade market again. This time the Flyers actually get him. You know, it's a guy, if you've watched him play the last couple nights, you see that he's got some speed to him. He's a big, lanky dude, 6'3". And I stress lanky because it doesn't look like there's much to him. You know, he's got that big, long body with the big, long arms, lanky legs, lanky arms. So I don't want to call him like a power forward or anything like that. Like when I watch him play, I'm like, first of all, he's not playing like himself yet. You can see the nerves. You can see he's unsure of where he's supposed to be, what he's supposed to be doing, you know, that kind of thing. He's new, so it's expected, right? I see the same things with Ronnie Attard, believe it or not. He's played decently, but there are times when his head is like this, like constantly. Do you know what I mean? Because he's just, you know, he's trying, and he'll get there, but he's not ready yet. He's not comfortable. That's what I see with Gurianov. I noticed him in the first period a little bit. He was on the second power play, which was cool. Rocky Thompson had some things to say about that when asked. But other than that, I didn't notice a lot of Gurianov, and I was going to try to make a point to watch him. I don't know if it's just because I couldn't, you know, I didn't know his numbers. He's number 15. I just couldn't find him on the ice when he was out there. So, I don't know. Maybe this will be a nice little pickup. I was kind of wondering last night, if this is a guy, if they can keep him around for cheap, you know, cheap bottom six player, if he's a candidate. But I don't know. We'll see how he fits in. The only reason I'm thinking that, Jack, is because he's, you know, he's Russian, and there is some maybe untapped potential there. Maybe, you know, they're trying to make Michkov comfortable when he comes over. Now he's got a buddy. You know what I mean? So yeah, Gurianov is an intriguing name for sure. What'd they give up for him? It was Wade Allison, you said, right? Yeah.
One for one, yeah.
So good for Wade. Fresh start out in Nashville. I think he reported to the Milwaukee Admirals, which is their AHL affiliate. And, you know, maybe he gets a second chance out there. You know, we wish him all the best. The other move, and this move, you know, just watching last night, he stood out a lot more than Gurianov to me. It was Eric Johnson from Buffalo. And it's funny because we had Michael Gallo on couple weeks ago, Jack, and I think Johnson came up as a guy that Buffalo was trying to move, and we didn't really put it together that the Flyers might be a team that could be interested in Johnson. I don't think, because we were looking at bigger fish.
Well, yeah, and a lot of what we discussed was offseason. I think Walker had to go for us to even enter into the conversation, and I think that's what it was. I completely forgot to mention that deal. Everything, the whole preamble I had, I forgot to mention the fourth round pick for Eric Johnson, which I think a lot of people were split on. And, you know, I'll ask you before I go into it a little bit further, what you thought of them moving Walker for a very much needed first, but still moving I believe it was this year's fourth for Eric Johnson with, I mean, let's be real, they do have a lot of injuries and they are in a playoff position.
I'm fine with the moves that they made. You know, anything past the third round to me, you're, you know, see what you can get back for it. You know, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round picks. Guy like Eric Johnson, you know, he's a veteran D. He's won a Stanley Cup. Briere said it all in his press conference. If you guys haven't watched that yet, his post trade deadline press conference, I think it was from Friday. You should listen to it because, I mean, Briere gets it. Everything that I was hoping that he would say, he said. And to me, it was like, all right, we have the guy, Jack. We have, and that's why title of the episode's Big Balls Briere. we have shirts. If you guys want shirts, I'll share the link. But he's the guy, you know? And yeah, there were no earth-shattering moves. To me, he made the necessary moves. The moves that they said they were going to make for months. They were going to try to thread the needle or toe the line here. They got their first round pick for Walker, and then they moved out, you know, some assets, you know, a former prospect in Allison who needed a change of scenery. And what did you say it was, a fourth round pick?
Yeah, I believe it was a fourth round pick in this year's draft. And the year is what pick, I can't remember.
Fourth round pick for veteran D. And hey, he looked pretty good last night, Eric Johnson, I thought. You know, this is a bottom pair guy. If you can get him to play 10, 12, you know, minutes a night when everybody comes back and is healthy, hopefully that happens. You know, they have a guy that they can rely on. In my opinion, you know what you're getting from Eric Johnson. You know, there's a comment here from Trevsta 93. I don't think we've seen Trev in here. So pretty cool to have you. The Johnson trade was only for defensive depth. Exactly. You know, he's not going to light the world on fire offensively. You know what you're getting. You know, you traded a fourth round pick. You're getting a defensive guy, some leadership back there. You know, maybe he helps guys along like Addard and, you know, they called Ginning up, but I don't know if they'll play together, Ginning and Johnson. So I was very happy. I was content with the deadline. I mean, they got the first round pick. How could you be sad? How could you be angry about anything? Right?
Look, for me, it was pass or fail. Getting that first round pick made it a pass. Anything else was extra. And yeah, it looks like what I like about Johnson is you didn't give up much. I pretty much agree with the fourth round. You know, after the third round, you can even argue after the second round. You are a rebuilding team, though, so don't get crazy. You got your first. You're just throwing the team you have now a bone, saying, like, you guys earned this. And with the decrepit D that they have and all the injuries that they have, you essentially have Risto's been injured most of the year when you really break it down. He should be back at some point, but we went from day to day to week again. Drysdale's probably gone for the year. I mean, unless they make some kind of crazy playoff run, which I don't think anybody sees coming, he's probably done. You know, and it looks like for a while there, Sam Heim was going to miss some time. Zamula woke up sick. It's like, geez, like, what happened here? And then you traded Walker. Oh, and Sealer's hurt as well. So, like, this was definitely depth. It was leadership. It was a guy who has a cup under his, on his belt. There you go. But the question I wanted to ask you wasn't so much about Eric Johnson, but I thought it was interesting because people, myself included, at least at first, I didn't verbally admit this, but Hunter Brody, who we all know from his time at 97.5, and I believe he's now at 94.1, maybe he's at Knights or something, and Brogues Media, what have you, he did post, there's no doubt the Flyers front office let the current standings dictate their trade deadline, and then went on to talk about how he'd be cheering for them, and he got eviscerated for that comment. And, like, I agree with the first comments. Like, are we really upset about losing a fourth-round pick? No, nobody is. But is there any truth to that in your eyes? They didn't trade Lawton. And I want you to bring up what Briere had said about Lawton because it's a really good point. But they still, if they were getting offered a first plus or just a first and you don't make that move, does that go against what they should have done? They re-signed Sealer. I know a lot of people like that. I like that, but they didn't move him. This is what rebuilding teams do. This is what they do. So it's an interesting comment. I don't think he should have been eviscerated. It's just, I'm okay with what they did, but I don't know. I'll throw it to you, Jim. What do you think about that comment? Is there a lot of truth to it?
I think he's maybe seeing things without thinking about what's been said for the last however many months. And like, let's be honest, none of us are in the room with the phone, you know? You know they're taking calls on these guys. Could have just been they didn't get what they wanted. It's not that they let their spot in the standings dictate. If that was the case, they wouldn't have traded Sean Walker. Do you know what I mean?
If that was truly the case, I 100% agree.
If that was truly the case.
We would be really pissed, yeah. So I thought it was interesting that there weren't other moves like that made. Sealer's a nice get. It's 4 years. So like some other outlets have had issues with the deal. I'm not going to get my panties in a twist over that one. I mean, by the time this team's ready to compete, he's going to have like a year or two left on the deal. So what do I care?
But like the thing is though, like he's been playing well all year and all year long, they said they're not looking to trade Sealer.
Right.
That doesn't mean that they're not taking calls. I think they've been everything that they've done. And on every player that they've been asked about, they've been honest. So if somehow he interpreted that as the Flyers are moving away from the rebuild, you know, that's on the person who understood it that way. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a huge part of communication. Somebody can say something, and it's all about how you comprehend it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
You can take what they say and turn it into something totally different. And that's sort of what that tweet was. It wasn't taking everything into consideration. So something that I try to do before anything, I let someone's actions, you know, prove them wrong, prove them to be a liar, whatever. So what I first do is I'll take everything somebody says at face value. If you're going to say these words, I'll believe these words. Now your actions have to back it up, right? And this Flyers front office has been 100% honest, and they've backed it up. So I have no reason to think, oh, yo, they were going for the rebuild and, you know, they didn't follow through. No, they exactly what they said they were going to do for weeks and months is what they did. So, you can't make everybody happy.
No, and it's one of those points I bring up to get your feelings on it. I think it's interesting, but at the end of the day, when you break these things down, that's what it comes down to. And one thing you brought up was they are taking calls and they didn't get their price. So when it comes to Lawton, who did not need to be moved, he's got 2 more years at $3 million, which is a bargain. If you ask me, you can argue with me about how his start of the season point wise, you got like that, especially with the cap going up, $3 million is an absolute steal with what he brings to your team and what he does on the penalty kill and what all that. I'm not looking at his points and, you know, figuring out how I feel about Lawton. Do you remember what Briere said when he said that he spoke to Lawton about him possibly being traded? Because I think it was exactly what you were saying, how they weren't getting their price, but it also showed how they view their locker room.
Yeah, I mean, all year, I mean, at least how I interpreted was, this was the price we want for Lawton. If we don't get it, we're not moving him. And they didn't need to. He's here for 2 more seasons after this year. And then he explained why. You know, and maybe this was, you know, Briere kind of, I don't think he was apologizing, but, you know, saying sorry to Lawton out in the media by complimenting him. He was giving him some great compliments. So he used a French saying, but basically what it means is Lawton's a guy that brings people together. He's a glue guy, basically, right? And, you know, we don't get to see this from Scott Lawton, but if anyone has played sports, guys in the comments, guys, girls in the comments, Jack, you and I have played sports. You know who that guy is on your team. The guy that brings everyone together, includes everyone. Everyone kind of, you know, he's the leader. And maybe he's not like, you know, the guy that's going to sit there and yell at everybody, you know, yada, 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 rah, rah, rah. But he's the guy that's going to bring the rookies and he's going to bring the vets, you know, like people might hate this, but Mike Richards was that guy. You know, we've heard stories. If they went out to party, they went out to party as a team. That's a glue guy. That's a guy that's going to bring people together and make your team close. Those guys are extremely, extremely important to a team's success. This is not a dig at Giroux, Jack, but when Giroux was captain, what did we hear during his tenure? Right? Like the team was very clicky, and you don't win with a clicky team. It's just, maybe you do, you get lucky, you got the skill, but the Flyers are not in a place where, you know, they can have these clicks. They need to be one, they need to be a unit, and they are. Lawton's extremely, extremely important to this roster.
Right, and I couldn't agree more with the previous set of players. It just was what it was, and there's only so much you can do on the ice. This stuff does matter. It doesn't have to be your top guy who does it, just as long as you have somebody who does it. And then you also need to hold people accountable. And I think he does that as well.
I also want to say, like, because I think maybe I'm not sure if we still underrate Scott Lawton. And he doesn't have the numbers that pop off the page. But I don't think there's too many guys in the NHL that can play power play, you know, good, strong 5v5 player, PK, and actually, you know, be good at the PK. Can play anywhere in your lineup, wing, center, top line, fourth line, like, there are too many of those guys, you know, hanging around in the NHL. Like, usually these guys can do one thing. Lawton literally does everything. I think maybe we undervalue that just a little bit. So I don't blame them. If they didn't get their offer met or blown away, which I think they should have been blown away, if that didn't happen, you don't trade Scott Lawton, and they didn't.
And that was probably my favorite line that Briere had said when he was explaining it to Scott Lawton, and was like, look, if I trade you, it'll be for nothing less than fair trade market value. And you're worth more to us than fair trade market value, which means they got to get blown away. And they're still here. And I feel like they've always felt that way. That's why this is fine with me. That's why if I turn around and look, they trade Lawton for a second. I'm like, really? Like what? You didn't hold out? Like, yeah, if he's got a year left on his deal, or it's expiring contract. Okay, you take what you can get. But like that, I'm like, there's no need to do this. You have so many options. You have the off season, and he's too important to the chemistry of this team and the makeup of this team right now that I'm not losing sleep over it. And there's a reason he's always linked in discussions with a first round pick. There's a reason for that.
For sure. Good comment here from Vegas. Whoa, Vegas. Thanks for hanging out with us. I know we've seen you in here a bunch. Here's the comment. Lots is more valuable leading into the playoffs. There's always draft day to see if a trade can be had. There's no need to trade him immediately. Yeah, I would agree. I think that's kind of the consensus thought there. Let me see. What else do we have here as far as comments? Was Lawton a Hextall pick?
Holmgren.
Yeah, he was Holmgren. You're right. Yep. He was here before Hextall. He's been here for a long time. He was, what do they call him? A Mike Richards light when they drafted him. And it's almost not fair because every time they compare a player, you're like, oh, Mike Richards. But he really kind of is Mike Richards light. Like, he does it all. I mean, he doesn't fight, but, leader.
Does enough.
I mean, you name it, he does it. Right.
He does enough, yep.
All right, let's kind of move along a little bit here. So we touched on the Flyers' defense situation. And, in our group chat, I think last week, I want to talk about this guy first and foremost. So obviously Nick Seeler's hurt. Jamie Drysdale's hurt. Rasmus Ristolainen is still hurt. And I know he makes a lot of money, which I think is the primary reason why everybody wants to move him. Would you say that's correct, Jack? On him, again, the money, so this sounds crazy. You want him on your bottom pair, but he can also flex into your second pair, and he's a very capable second pair defenseman since he's been with the Flyers. And the reason I bring this up is because there was comments from Tortorella a couple days ago, and he goes, no one talks about Ristolainen. Everybody hates Risto out here, so they don't talk about him. He was a really good player for us. So I thought that was interesting. And, I think Torts, and maybe, some, I don't know, maybe some people out there are, making it a personal thing. But Ristolainen's been fine since coming here. Is he putting up 40-point seasons, 10 goals? No, but he's not asked to be that anymore. He's been asked to be a stay-at-home guy, more physical presence, yada, yada. And he's doing that, again, the thing that sucks is the price tag, but I think he's a guy that, they can keep around. I don't think he's a guy they have to lose a trade on. You know what I mean? So I don't mean to make this all about Risto. I just wanted to bring that point up there. But the Flyers defense is beat to shit, and they have a gauntlet of games coming up, Jack. I think they have the next seven team. Nine games against seven of the best teams in the NHL.
They got Boston twice. They got somebody
Toronto
else.
Twice.
Toronto twice. They got the Rangers. Like, I saw a glimpse of what they got coming up. It is an absolute gauntlet. And then, at the end of the gauntlet, I think they, finally play the Islanders, which is going to be important. I'm very glad that the Red Wings are imploding, because we may be looking at a wild card spot, and that'll help. It looks like there's three spots available for four teams. And the four teams are the Flyers, the Islanders, Tampa, who's probably going to get in, and the Red Wings. That's the way it looks to me.
Yeah. Well, and so here's my scary thought now. With the games coming up and the Flyers defense in the shape that it's in, obviously I think they're trotting out Cam York and Travis Sanheim as your top pair, which is fine. Cam York has been much improved since Jamie Drysdale's gone down.
And he won me money.
And he won us money. Yeah. Yes, he did. Second pair, I don't even remember what it was. I think it was Stahl and Addard.
Yeah, they listed it funny. Like, this one pair should have been the third pair. I just know that Johnson was playing with
Samula.
Samula was out, though, because he was sick. Who am I forgetting?
He played yesterday.
Did he? Maybe I'm thinking of Lighting. Yeah. Yeah, you go. Yeah, it must be it. Like, jeez. We could certainly take... Well, that's just it. Drysdale's done. essentially. You know, I don't know Steelers' timetable. Do you remember Risto's injury? It's a good question in the chat. From earlier in the season, I thought it was lower body. Am I wrong about that?
Because I know, yeah, I think it was groin something or other.
This one I heard is mild upper body, and I was read speculative could be concussion like symptoms. So I think they are different injuries, and that's why there's no timetable. Concussion, who the hell knows?
Do you remember when he got laid out by Ridley Gregg against Ottawa, maybe 2 months ago now?
What was he, the net, the empty net?
So it was along the boards, and he got absolutely crushed.
Ristolainen.
Ristolainen's a big dude. Yeah, he got.
I would remember that. Yeah.
And, you know, like the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Like I was like, oh my God, dude, he just got blown up. So I don't know. I'm sure it's on YouTube or somewhere, but I wonder if it goes back to that, because I don't think he played in too many games afterwards. And yeah, now he's just been out. I don't know. They need these guys back though, especially for this run here. I would imagine if, you know, if they're even 60-70% healthy, they'll come out. I think Steelers supposed to be back. They said sometime this week. We'll see. We haven't really had any injury updates. Toronto tomorrow night with this defense. They didn't look good against San Jose, in my opinion, last night.
Right.
I'm afraid things could get a little ugly here. Like we're going to need Detroit to keep losing.
Yeah, you're going to need a few things to happen. I mean, the good news about Toronto is I think Marner is probably going to miss it. That yes. helps. They got more than enough offensive talent to make up for it, but it helps. Every little bit helps. Urson's going to have to stand on his head. I mean, he's been great. It's a shame when you look at his season numbers, like those bad games he had, especially early on, have really affected his season numbers. But if you watch him like we do every game, like he's so much better than his numbers. However, there are games it feels like if he gives one up early, you're kind of like, it's going to be a 5-goal-plus night. You know, where other than that, it's what, 2 or 1? You know, he's got like 4 shutouts on the year. You know, his defense is a big part of that. So I'm really hoping somebody can come back. I think Ginning got sent back down. You know, somebody's going to have to step up. So far, that person has been York, but we're going to need more than that. And they got to stop taking stupid penalties. I'm looking at Konechny when I say that. He is taking some stupid penalties. Now, throw the Tampa game out the window. That was a joke. But, like, they are taking some after the whistle, pushing and shoving, you know, slashing penalties that they should not be taking. They can't afford that, especially against the gauntlet of teams they have coming up. They cannot be doing that shit. So they're going to have to, and I've noticed this, maybe it's because Torts isn't there, but they are much less disciplined. Some of their skill guys are actually doing some skillful stuff, which I'm happy with, but there's Torts isn't going to scream at them for, you know, not making it work, but they're going to have to really play perfect hockey essentially to survive this. Now, I think we can give them a little more credit than we are. They've gone through some tough stretches. That 7-0 loss really stands out. And sneaking by San Jose doesn't exactly give you confidence, but they needed 2 points. They got 2 points. All you can do is play the teams in front of you. So let's take it but game by game. Hopefully guys start to get healthy, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to stick to my whole thing all year. Like, and I said it after the game against Florida. I don't know why I keep doubting this team, but I'm back there again. You know, this is the month. It's put up or shut up time. It's the month before the playoffs, and you got these kind of games lined up for you. I tell you what, I mean, the game against Tampa Bay, throw the tape out, right? Don't even watch it. Just burn it, throw it away, whatever. The game last night against San Jose, Jack, I was not impressed. And I know this isn't if, because if San Jose had shooters, they probably wouldn't be the last team in the NHL. They wouldn't be at the bottom of the standings. But if they had shooters, the Flyers lose that game easily, in my opinion.
I mean,
I don't know. I think they finished with maybe 30 shots on goal. They probably missed the net another 30 times. They were around the Flyers' goal a lot, and they had scoring opportunities. They weren't putting bodies on bodies. It's like San Jose had space in and around Flyer goal. And, you know, we're talking about the Flyer defense. That's it right there. You know, these guys haven't played together. Some of them haven't been in the NHL, right? Addard, Johnson's brand new here. I mean, Mark Stahl, whatever. It was, in my opinion, it was ugly last night. They should have lost. If that was a better team, that's an easy loss for me. And the parade to the box continues. Doesn't help. You mentioned discipline. They get smashed against Toronto if that's what they're going to do. If that's how they're going to play Thursday.
Well, you saw what this is why people who wanted them to like go all four of the playoffs this year, I think is silly. I'm not saying don't go for it, but like to go all out, not trade Walker and do that stuff. We don't have the Austin Matthews or anything close to it. You saw what he did to us in one period. That could easily happen to us, especially now with the injuries. And it's like a snowball effect. Just once it starts going, it just gets out of control and it can happen again. So they have to play. They can't be taking stupid penalties. They have to play perfect hockey. You need to get healthy. They need to weather the storm right now. Somebody mentioned how they played against Florida was good. The first thing they did in that Florida game was weather the storm in that first period. Like it somehow came away tied and then turned things around. But the problem is and I'm glad that Tippett scored. I know it was a tough game, but I'm glad that Frost scored. You know, I'm glad that our skill for guys were scoring because before that, there's a lot of our fourth line doing all the work. You're not going to win relying on your fourth line. These guys who have skill are going to need to do it. And that's the one good takeaway I can take away from San Jose, that and another Arison playing pretty well, was, you know, the skillful guys were the ones getting it done. But 3-2 against a team like that, traded away talent. I think Zadina scored for him. You know, second or third overall pick for Detroit. I can't tell you how many years ago, AKA bust. Like they do tend to play to the level of the team they're playing. So there is something to be said about that, but they never play Boston well. So that'll be interesting. They kind of play the Rangers well. We'll see. The Rangers just added more talent. A lot of the teams we're going to be playing added more talent. If they're going to see Carolina again, like, it's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough.
I'll tell you what I want to see. I don't want to say everyone, but Morgan Frost did have a good game last night, right? He's been playing pretty well for the last 2 months. A couple mistakes last night that pissed people like me off. You know, I'm all for fun, but if the fun stuff turns into mistakes, That'll piss me off quick. A great pass to Farabee to spring him away on a breakaway. I think he knocks down a shot with his stick, turns around and like all in one motion, you know, fires a perfect lead pass for Farabee, who gives the Flyers a 1-0 lead. He then scores on the power play. I think it was a broken play, and he slams the puck home, gives the Flyers 2-1 lead. You know, he does fun things with the puck. Rocky Thompson praised him for his work in the bumper on the power play. All good stuff. Okay. Before we, you know, crown him with the Rocket Richard, you know, MVP, whatever you want to give him, let's remember that it's against the San Jose Sharks. And yes, San Jose is an NHL team, but you look at that roster, Jack, and it kind of made me laugh because our live tweeter and post-game writer, Megan O'Reilly, sometimes when she puts out her article, sometimes she doesn't put the first names of players, and that's fine because, you know, I can name almost every player's first name when I'm doing these articles. On San Jose though, I had to go back and look up who the hell some of these guys were. They don't have a lot of NHL players. I didn't know who the hell their goalies were. Magnus Crona, he's not even in Hockey DB. You know what I mean? So while the San Jose Sharks are an NHL organization, this is not an NHL roster that they're putting out there. It's just not. It's bad. Like, it's very, very bad. And so, Frost played very well. He should have. He played on the line with Bobby Brink and Joel Farabee. But am I going to say, you know, I want to see this against Toronto. I want to see it against Boston. I want to see it against Toronto again. Okay? You know what I mean? Like, where was he against? I mean, you could say this for everybody on the team, but 7-0 to Tampa Bay. That's a playoff team. Team that you're battling with. You know, I know it's the first day after the trade deadline and weird circumstances, but, you know.
Well, they actually beat Florida after the deadline, which was a great win. Do you want to talk about that Tampa game at all? I mean, where did.
No, I don't really. Do you? I really don't.
I don't know what there's to say that hasn't been said. I guess. How do you feel? I mean, I personally,
it's a bullshit game. Is they had five defense, right, 13 forwards.
Well, I mean, there was also some phantom calls. I mean, there was no hold on Adderd there. Like, come on. I think Wes McCauley was covering for a young referee there and just said, could've that's been. It. There, come on. Hathaway got a 10-minute minor. Game misconduct for pushing after the whistle. Every game. You know, and I think they saw Torts popping off, and that's, they're just like, yeah, we're just going to have to, can't have this all game. That game was probably already out of hand, but like, that was an absolute joke. I can't put it all on the Flyers. They're probably going to lose that game anyway. Yes, they were going to lose that game anyway. But Jesus Christ, we're going to do a whole conversation about accountability with the refs. So I'll stop right there because I'm sure you don't want to talk about that.
I mean, what are you going to do? You know, it's aside from the Torts suspension, which at first you're like, oh, that's pretty hefty, 50K and, you know, two games. When I heard Hilferty was going to cover the fine, I was like, all right, well, he's probably going to be covering like 5K or 10K, whatever it is. 50K and a two game suspension. That's pretty harsh when you hear that first, right?
If I'm the NHL and I hear that Comcast is covering the bill, I'm jacking that bill up. It probably was only be like 10K and they're like, oh, I'm paying any fine. All right, you're going to pay some fine there. Let's up that bad boy. So yeah. I'm glad though. I like that at Hilferty. I got to be honest with Hilferty. I kind of put that shit out of mind. I'm like, they're going to say everything you want to hear. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. Got real bad memories with Dave Scott and all that nonsense. But he's really embodied what the city's about, and I'm seeing it more and more. I was definitely one of the tough customer to bring over, but I see it, and this just is more to his resume on that. So I do like that. I'm glad you stand behind your team. The refs were ridiculous, and he stood up for his Torts stood up for his team, and the quote-unquote owner is standing up for his coach for doing the right thing in that situation. I don't think I ever remember a coach refusing to leave in any sport, but I could be wrong.
And that's where the two-game suspension comes from. He showed up he didn't leave the bench.
I heard the league was very unhappy about that, but the league's a joke, so nobody cares.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, so you hear two games and 50K, you're like, well, for what? And then it's like, oh, well, you know, he's on camera refusing to leave the bench several times. So maybe that's why.
I want that like picture as my computer background, his hand in the cast and just a no, I'm staying right here. Yeah. I just want that. He just kills me.
Yeah.
I love Torts. I really do. I'm sorry. I do.
Yeah. I was going to say who doesn't, but there are people out there. It's weird. Some people just want this team to fail, or they only want them to succeed their way. And that's just so weird to me, but I digress. All right. So let's kind of move on a little bit here. We have just over 10 minutes left in our show. Here's a comment from Sean C. Jack. Post extension, Owen Tippett needs to grab the bull by the horns too. He's shown flashes, but needs to be more consistent. And so I have a theory on this too. Do you remember the game against Colorado where he hurt his knee?
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't really looked the same to me since. So I would bet that there's something going on there a little bit. Yeah, he did have a nice goal last night, connecting with a nice seam pass through the defense, which I would love to see the Flyers do more of, specifically on the power play. But anyways, he hasn't looked the same to me. Doesn't have the same jump. He's kind of looked out of sorts in some games. He's looked odd to me, Owen Tippett. What have you seen?
No, so he hasn't stopped shooting. I will say that his shooting percentage probably took a hit. But I don't care about shooting percentage. I want the guys who want to shoot. I could give a shit if they're 1% on the year, as long as they're shooting, because that's what you do. Even if sometimes your best chance at a play is to throw it on net. So throw it on net. It's a guy like that. I want throwing on that. And he has had some like good shots, good goals, like against the Devils in the stadium series game. I think he had two goals there, but ultimately since he signed, the last play I remember before he signed the deal was the backhand goal against Dallas. And that kind of creativity and just taking over games or periods. We have not seen that. He needs to step up and take over a game and will settle for a period like he has in the past. He scored some goals. He's had some nice plays. He's shooting the puck. That's great and wonderful. But he has not taken over a game like he did earlier in the season before the contract. That I'll agree with. And I hope it's a hopefully not lingering knee issue, but something that he'll come out of. You're hoping the goal sparks it and gets it going. But that Tippett I haven't seen in a while. Oh, you're on mute again.
I don't even remember doing it that time. But no, it is true. You know, it's he hasn't really been the same guy. The other player that I wanted to talk about, Jack, before we get into the playoff race a little bit here, and we'll look at the schedule ahead and see if we can calculate how many points they could get out of this, is Tyson Forster to me. You know, I've mentioned, I think, a lot of times that, you know, when I watch Konechny live, he kind of stands out. Like, he has certain things to where it's like, whoa, this guy's playing on another level than some of these guys. Do you know what I mean? Like, Konechny was one of those players for me that's just head and shoulders better than every other player on the Flyers. You know, it's the way he skates, the way he, you know, he engages in battles, the way he looks up ice, his vision, things like that. Tyson Forster is starting to do that for me a little bit when he's on the ice, Jack. I'm not saying he's the caliber of player that Konechny is yet, or, you know, if he's ever going to be. I'm just saying, last night when Tyson Forster jumped over the boards, I knew he was on the ice, and he looked better than whoever he was playing with. You know what I mean? There's something about him that I hadn't really noticed in games prior to last night. And I know it was against the San Jose Sharks. So same thing goes for him as it goes for Frost. But Forster wins puck battles. He commands the puck when he's on the ice. It's always around him. The puck is always around him. I don't know if that's him with positioning defensively or offensively, but whenever he's on the ice, he's around the puck. And it ends up on his stick one way or the other, whether somebody finds him with a pass or he wins it himself. He's starting to have that little shine for me. Like, oh, if this continues, maybe he could project as a star in another season or so. He's not there yet, but it was just something that popped out to me last night. And I was sitting next to Russ Cohen last night. I'm sure everybody follows him on Twitter, Sportsology. But I looked over and I said, Russ, do you notice anything with Forster? Like, he's kind of doing this thing, like he's sticking out to me in ways TK does. Again, not comparing them in any way, different players, obviously. And he said, oh yeah, of course. So it's not just me that sees it. There's something going on with Forster, and the Flyers might have a very good player, obviously, on their hands.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, there are certain players, when I see their number and I see them get the puck in the offensive zone particularly, that I expect something to happen. And right, with the board battles, there's plays behind the net where they're trying to like regain possession, or there's like a close play where I think they're going to lose the puck and I've almost given up on the play myself. And he either makes a smart move or does something I don't expect. And he just keeps the play alive. And then on top of that, I'm waiting for him to like take a shot. So like, it's very exciting to watch in that regards. I feel certain players, I feel this with Arison a little bit. Like, I'm starting to expect him to make the save more and more when it's a normal shot, not when he's hung out to dry. You know, but like with Forster, like I'm starting to expect him to make the right play. Mm-hmm. You know, and if he shoots it, then I don't even care. I'm just like, great, shoot. I love shooting. You know, that's different. But like, to have a player who has that offensive ability, but to be as competent as he is everywhere else on the ice, like they don't draw him up like that, you know? And Forrester's rising the levels for how potential I see in him, mm-hmm, and how much I rely on him in these games. There's something there. And if this can continue to grow, you can really have something there. So the fact that he is being noticed more and more like that, and I feel this about a couple of players, Tippett really just on offense, I would say. I wouldn't expect him to be as competent as Forster is in the rest of his game. But like, I used to always feel this way about like Giroux, you know, like I'm not comparing, Jesus Christ, but I'm just saying there's something about when the puck's in this guy's hands, you feel a little more confident. You feel like you're in good hands. Where I'd, in the past, you know, name all the players that would have the puck, we would just roll our eyes. Like, and he's young. There's so much to like about Forrester. I almost can't harness it all in because I'm not sure what we're going for here. But all I know is I like it.
Yeah. I'll just call it like the it factor. Like he has it where I don't know if I would have said that, you know, earlier in the season. I think a lot of people based their thoughts and expectations for Forrester based off the 8 games or 7 games he played in last season. And if he played like that throughout an entire year, yeah, you would say this guy's going to be a star easily. But, you know, he's grown. He's going to grow into a player. I'm excited to see what kind of player he grows into. It looks like he's going to be a defensively competent player with scoring ability, which, hey, who doesn't love that? So I just wanted to bring that up because I was kind of surprised by that myself. And you know that I've been a Forrester guy from, it sounds weird to say, but since they drafted him, and it was just interesting. It surprised me a little bit. I don't know. Who else do we want to talk about there? Did we talk about Frost already?
Not in depth, I don't think.
All right. So Morgan Frost, and here's why I don't get as excited about Morgan Frost as I do for Tyson Forrester. Maybe we should let you talk about Frost. So Forrester does all the things that a person like me likes. I like for a young kid to do all the little things correct. Do all the tough things right, and you'll guarantee your spot on the roster. We know you can score. We know you have offensive abilities. Do all the tough things, and you're going to be a hell of a player when you put it all together, right? Why I have a hard time getting excited for Morgan Frost, and maybe it's just I hate fun, right? You guys can tell me, like, Jim, like, what do you have against having fun? Like, Morgan Frost is a fun player to watch. He can be, you know, but I think one of the accounts shared a tweet of Morgan Frost doing all kinds of stick stuff in the zone, extended play, which is fine. You want players to extend play, but the stick stuff, it does nothing for me. And unless you're going to attack a player and make a move to goal, something like that. Otherwise, it's just BS. It's just stuff. It's fun to watch and make clips for. You know what I mean? Doesn't do it for me. I want to see you setting up teammates. I want to see attacking defense. I want to see you attacking goal, in and around goal, consistently. You know what I mean? Create offense. That against good teams too. I want to see it against good teams. Notice I haven't said anything negative about Frost. These are just my opinions on the kind of player that he is. He's played very well. Very good. I don't even know if I want to say good. He's played very competent defensive hockey the last 2 months. I have no issues with the way he's played defensively, because before that, terrible. Just not great defensively. So whatever happened with him and Torts, something clicked, I guess. And his play away from the puck's been great, which is what he needed to improve on. This is what Bobby Brink needs to improve on as well. His play away from the puck looked pretty good last night. So yeah, that's I just have how do I say it? I have my own personal I like to see a certain player play a certain way. So I don't know if it's biases. I guess it could be biases, you know, if it's, you know, the style of player that Morgan Frost is, a lot of the extra stuff just doesn't excite me. I want to see goals. You know, I'm a bread and butter kind of guy. Does that make sense? So it is biases in a way. But I feel that I can still evaluate Frost and attempt to be honest in my evaluations. Does that make sense?
I mean, yeah. I mean, he can be a frustrating guy. I mean, yeah. We can all admit he's improved, and I don't want to see him move, because we have a lot of that has to do with our center depth as an organization. I want to keep seeing him flourish and maybe rein it in and pull it together. I think our worry is we don't want to see our version of like a Sam Gagne. Guy had all the tricks and dipsy doodles in the world. He just couldn't put it together, became an NHL journeyman. You know, like, no, we don't want that out of Frost. We want him to be at the very least, second line center who can dazzle. Like, he's a playmaker. You want to see that. You see glimpses of it. It's just when and where kind of thing. And sometimes when plays come at him fast is when I see him at his best, when he just reacts and he almost doesn't have time to even think about thinking. He just reacts. So that's when I see him at his best. Like when that goal he scored, it was like a shot that hit off the defenseman that found its way over to him and kind of went, oh, sit and shot. And, you know, it's in. He had a little bit of a net to shoot to at, but it's not like he roofed it either. And that play you talked about where he sprung Farabee for the breakaway, like that was a quick play. Like, you know, it's a block shot. Oh, shit. It almost didn't even look up ice. Boom. Like, when he just is in the moment is where you see the best at him. I think he made a shimmy at the line, at the blue line too, and like really made a move on somebody. He can do that stuff when it's got to be successful, or Jim's going to come down, you know, raining fires of hell. But I get it. I can be frustrating. This is what the guy's here for. As Stuart said, I hear he's an offensive guy. Like, that's kind of your thing. Like, he's still young enough. Because look, him and Tippett are the same draft, and Poehling for that matter. Like, they can still figure things out. It's just, it can be tough at times when you see people defending him, see people going after him, and you're just like, can you just help yourself out sometimes? He's been playing a lot better. The other stuff, it's there, but when and where is going to come. And if it does, you're going to really have something. And I do think that Torts was a good coach for him because of what you said about his play away from the puck improving mightily. Well, you need that to stay. You can't just be a one-trick pony. You have to be able to play in the NHL. So maybe this was more of a year for that stuff and the other stuff. It's who he is, so he's going to do it from time to time. But he'll get that freedom as long as the rest of his game's good, for more consistent than it is, and then maybe we'll really be on to something there.
Yeah, I mean, you just said it. You know, if he's not the kind of player that, if he's not at least competent defensively, that, you know, is going to truly help your team. And I don't think that's an exaggeration. You know, if he's inept defensively, he's a liability. It's just my opinion. It's what it is. Now, he's got here's a date for you, Jack. So since January 10th, Morgan Frost has 16 assists, right? I didn't go back and count the games, but that's pretty good. 16 assists in the last 2 months. Now, if you go back and look at the games he's scored in, he's got 3 goals in that span. He's got 4 goals in that span. He scored against the Montreal Canadiens, right? Stink. He scored against the Arizona Coyotes, stink. The San Jose Sharks, stink. And the Winnipeg Jets, who were pretty good. So 4 goals in the last 2 months, 3 of them are against really bad teams. Now, also 16 assists. He's got 2 assists against Tampa Bay in a game, 2 Washington, 2 more against Tampa Bay, Colorado, Dallas. So giving him his props, right? I mean, 4 goals, 16 assists. I think that's 20 points in the last 2 months. I don't know the game tally, but I think it's almost point per game. He's improved. There's no doubt about it. I think we just want to see the consistency. We want to see more. You know, we keep hearing, oh, yeah, over an 82-game season, he'd be on pace for 50 points. And we accept that because since he's been here, it's just been it's been less than mediocre. You know, I don't see how he gets 50 points, and, you know, maybe he scores 15 goals. I don't know, but I don't know. And I'm not even trying to make this a negative thing on Frost, right? I'm not sure why. Yeah, whatever. I don't want to make it a negative thing, but he's fine. He's been playing very well the last 2 months, Morgan Frost.
The only thing I'll add, he's not the kind of guy that I'm looking for all that many goals from. It's the playmaking, which really want to see points. If it's his primary assist, that's great. But I really was hoping, and maybe he still can, improve the power play. Like, you need that kind of talent on the power play to get other guys, like the Tippetts, like the Foresters, you know, even York, hopefully, you know, open, or Drysdale when he's back, open for those like good looks. Like if he could do that, I don't care how much he really scores goals, but if he's making things happen, making people miss, making two defenders come his way so he can get somebody else open or find a shooting lane for somebody else, like that's really all you need to happen. So I think that can come with time. It's great that he's improved all the other aspects of his game, because that means you can keep him in the game. He's not a liability and he can look to do his other stuff. That's going to, the whole package is going to come with time, I think. Yes. How old is he? 24,
I think.
Yeah. He's good. He's got time and he's already a competent NHL player. It's what we were told he is. Look, he was drafted in the second round. Probably should have been a first round. Late first.
No, I think he was drafted first day.
He was. It's Radcliffe. At the time, we were like, if you just switch those picks, it's good value. Yeah, it shows what we knew. He was a late first. And I think you can see that maybe he's just slower to develop and put it all together. He's funny because he is scoring against bad teams. I guess it seems like happenstance, but I want to keep seeing the two assists against teams like Tampa and Boston. I really want to see how he does during this gauntlet coming up. Because like we said, mostly we're looking at defense when we need players to step up. If you're going to have a chance against these teams and come away with points, you're going to need a player like him to step up. That power play in general is going to need to step up. So players like him are going to have to find a way. I don't need him to score. I need him to be on the score sheet. That's it. That's what he's here for. It's what he does. I'm not looking at him to break up defensive plays. I'm looking for him to put points on the board. And you're going to need this because Kutz has not looked anything like he used to. I don't know if he's just fatigued. Or, you know, for having not played a full season in a while, or what the hell's going on with him. But Frost has a great opportunity here to step up. We've said this in the past. Opportunity Frost. Well, let's see what you got. You're going to be on the power play. You're going to be doing stuff. Let's go. Like, this is it. And you can do it again. I don't need you to score a hat trick. Just make things happen against good teams.
Yeah, and for sure. So, what do you think? Let's kind of wrap it up with some positive Frost talk there, eh?
We tried.
Do you have anything else you wanted to pop in before we wrap up?
No, that's all I got.
Some big games coming up for the Flyers. They have Toronto Thursday, and I think Boston on Saturday. So they'll be in Boston for the St. Paddy's game. That'll be probably chaos. Let me just get you a schedule here real quick. It doesn't get easier after that. They have Toronto again, I think, the week after. Again at home, which is really weird. So Toronto Thursday, Boston Saturday, back home against Toronto on Tuesday, Carolina, and then 1 o'clock game against Boston next Saturday. So that's your next week and a half worth of games. So
how many games? Five
games, yeah. And then they have Florida on Sunday and the back-to-back after Boston, which is great. So.
They need to get 6 points somehow. I can tell you. Yeah. Like, I mean, you come away with 2 points against those two Boston games, which could be just two overtime losses. You got to beat Toronto one of those games at least. And in Carolina, you got to at least get it overtime. You got to make it to overtime. I mean, you add those points up. That's about five, maybe six. Like that's the, and then you pray to God that the Islanders and Tampa fall off. I mean, Red Wings fall off. I don't know, man, because they have even more. Like, I don't think their schedule after that's much easier. I know they got games against the Rangers coming up, the Islanders coming up. So it's they can't falter here. They got to toe the line best they can.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, if they could finish 500 for the month, that'd be great. They're 3-2-1 right now, 500 finish. I don't think anybody would be upset with that. So
I think they got Florida again, too.
Yep. So with that, boys and girls, I want to thank everybody for hanging out in the comments, old and new. We appreciate you guys. We always enjoy hanging out with you guys. So yeah, let's wrap this one up. One last time, give us a subscribe and a follow on YouTube. Listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Set alerts for weekly shows and make sure to favorite HOO.BE/HWHockey or just head over to our site. HWHockey.net for all of our latest episodes and articles. One of our hosts, Dave, put out a Behind the Stripes episode with former NHL referee Dave Jackson. He's now on the ESPN ref. If you watch games on ESPN, you know the name Dave Jackson is familiar. They talked about the Tortorella ejection and the Barry Melrose t-shirts that John Buchagross has started up. Make sure you guys check that episode out. A lot of good stuff there. Probably their best work yet. So yeah, as always, thanks for hanging out. Everybody have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you hopefully after some Flyers wins next week.
All right, Sean. See? Hold on to your butts.
Yeah, that is so good.